Every believer should have the right attitude, concerning your spiritual condition. Man, listen, never, whatever you do, I beg you, never be satisfied with where you are. Do you understand?
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Well, happy Monday, and welcome to Love Never Fails. Pastor Bill's study in the Epistle of Philippians continues this week. And from Pastor's study today, the Apostle Paul tells us, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Amen and amen. So let's join Pastor for today's study, The Ultimate Goal.
This morning we're going to talk from the scriptures that we just read about the ultimate goal. And I pray that by the end of this sermon that the ultimate goal has embraced your heart. You know, Philippians, again, is the epistle of joy written by Paul, of course, there in prison. But you know, when you think of Paul the Apostle, if you've ever read, there's only one description, and I forget where I read it now. I think it was Josephus or someone, the Jewish historian. And I believe that he described Paul the Apostle as about 5'3", extremely bow-legged, with a very crooked nose. Now, whether that is true or not, I don't know. I don't know what type of picture that you have in your mind of Paul the Apostle. We've certainly never seen him. But I can assure you that when I think of Paul, I do not think of him as an athlete. You ever think about that? You know, like I'm a runner, you know, or whatnot. No, but the truth of the matter is, Paul the Apostle, in his heart and in his mind, he is a spiritual athlete. He is running the race, the new birth. He's running for the ultimate goal. So Paul, if you ever studied out his epistles, and I'm sure you have, you'll notice that over and over he uses, you know, athletic terms as metaphors to get across what he's trying to say. Matter of fact, in most of his epistles, for example, in Acts 20:24, he says, "None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race." And he says, finish it with joy. In Ephesians 6:12, remember, he says, we do not wrestle, we do not fight against flesh and blood. And then in Galatians 5:7, just to name a few, he says to the Galatian churches, plural, he says, you ran well. You were really doing great. But who has hindered you? Who's cut you off? Who has stopped you? So with all that being said, as we look at the ultimate goal this morning, let's begin in verse 10. And remember now, Paul is speaking in the first person, and he writes in verse 10, and he says, and we've already covered these, of course, he says, that I may know him, or gnosko, may I know him, Jesus, by experience. I want to experience the Lord intimately. And he says, and I also want to experience the power of, not the power in the one-time event, Jesus' resurrection, but the ongoing power of the power of the resurrection life working in him and in us as well. And it says also experience the fellowship, the partnership, the joint partnership of his sufferings and so forth. So when we look at that word literally means persecution, being persecuted for the name of Jesus, not because you're, for yourself, but for the Lord. And then it says, being conformed unto his death, meaning where we're going from glory to glory into Christ's likeness, if by any means I may arrive at or attain to the resurrection from the dead. And then Paul says about all the things that we've been studying, beginning in verse 12, and I love this. Look what he says, not that I have already attained. Now, that word is different in the word in verse 11, which means to arrive at a specific goal. This word right here is different. Paul is saying, I haven't achieved it yet. I haven't arrived. I'm not some spiritual over-the-top giant. You understand what I'm saying? He's saying, listen, I've not reached nor have I achieved. I haven't obtained. And he goes to another word. Look at this one. He says, nor am I already perfected. Have you ever met a perfect person? Have you ever met a sinless person? I have. They tell me all the time they're sinless. Really, it's called the doctrine of sinless perfection. And so, no, I've never sinned. I'm saved and never sinned. So I slap them and see if they get mad. No, never mind. No. Anyway, there's no thing as sinless perfection, okay? Now, what Paul says about the word perfected, he's literally saying, let's read it. He says, nor am I already spiritually mature. Do you know what Paul the Apostle just said? He said, I am still being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit who is working in me and taking me from glory to glory to glory into the image of Christ Jesus, his Savior and our Savior. You know what I love about Paul? I tell you, I thank Paul right here. Here's a person. Listen, Jesus, he was saved on the Damascus Road by Christ Jesus himself. Think about that. He's the writer of 1/3 of the New Testament. 13 books, I believe 14 if you include Hebrews. Not only that, he received the gospel there in Arabia, personally being taught by the Lord Jesus himself. Think about that. I mean, all that he's gone through in his life and who this person is, healed the sick, raised the dead, caught up into the third heaven and saw things that he could not even speak about. It would be unlawful for him to even tell us, he said, and planter of dozens of churches, in and out of prisons, beaten, you name it. This man just said, and I love him, he just said to us, I haven't arrived. Now listen, I would be on TBN. Do you understand? I mean, I would have written 15 books by now. Do you understand? Come on. Not really, but you know what I'm saying. And he says, I have not arrived. He said, I'm still being conformed to the image of Christ. I'm still fighting the good fight. I'm still running the race. Now, we're talking about the ultimate goal. So the very first thing that we have to learn from Paul is this. Every believer should have the right attitude concerning your spiritual condition. Man, listen, never, whatever you do, I beg you, never be satisfied with where you are. Do you understand? Boy, that is the worst thing you can do, to be satisfied with your present spiritual condition. Loved one, listen. There's no such thing, again, as that sinless perfection, or I'm so mature that I don't even need to go to church. I don't really need to study my Bible anymore. Or, you know what, I've already finished going from glory to glory. No, that's an impossibility. Listen, our position in Christ Jesus is perfect, but our walk and our practice is progressive, isn't it? We are not going to be perfect until we enter heaven and we see the Lord. Amen? That's when we shall be like him. So we have to beware, loved one, as we run this race of faith, looking at the ultimate goal, loved one, we have to be careful not to have a false estimate of our true spiritual condition. You remember in the Revelation 3:1, when Jesus, writing to the seven churches, he writes to the church at Sardis, and he says this unto them. He says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. How would you like to get a letter from the Lord like that? He said, you know, everybody thinks you're alive. Everybody thinks you're on fire for me. Everybody thinks that, you know, but he says, here's the deal. You're a nekros. In other words, a corpse. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. Now, listen. Jesus knows everyone. He knows our true spiritual condition. Amen? But to write that letter to the church and say, listen, not only the people are dead, the choir's dead, the pastor is dead, their programs are dead. I mean, even their prayers are lifeless. In other words, Jesus was saying about this church that had a name that they were alive, you smell just like death. Now listen carefully. If any believer is satisfied with his spiritual condition, meaning his walk as he goes through this life, okay, going from glory to glory. If you are satisfied where you are in your spiritual condition and walk right now, I can assure you that it is not the Holy Spirit who has satisfied you. Do you understand? Very important. No, we are always growing. We are always changing. Man, no one has arrived. Oh, listen, I'm a mess. I just thank God he's taking me there. Amen. I thank God that I am going from glory to glory, and not by my power, not by my strength, not by my wisdom, not even by my want to, but the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Amen. He's the one that's conforming us into the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So don't ever be satisfied where you are. Tomorrow's a brand new day. We're still moving forward. You know, M.R. Dehan, who's gone home to be with the Lord, he was a great evangelist, but he was also co-editor of the Daily Bread. I don't see the Daily Bread much anymore, but it used to be. Everybody had a copy of it. And he said this. He said, self-satisfaction is the death of progress. And that is a true word, meaning if you're satisfied with your spiritual condition. Now look at verse 12. Not that I've already attained or already perfected, but what does Paul do? He says, I press on, or literally, every day I continually press on. Why? That I may lay hold of that, meaning being conformed into the image of our Lord, Christ likeness, for which Christ Jesus has laid hold upon me. So Paul says, I'm still running the race, man. I'm running toward the goal line. He says, my spiritual growth is not complete. He says, so I pursue, or the word there, press, means to pursue. I continually pursue. So when you study out those words in Greek, if you ever get that opportunity, Paul is, in these verses, he's painting a picture, if you will, of a Greek runner who is running down the racetrack, man, as fast as he can, but he's running toward a fixed goal, the ultimate goal, okay? And so it's kind of like a football player. You know, have you seen him running down the field, and there's that one guy, there's a guy with the ball, and the guys, and boy, they're running with all of their heart. They just want to pull that man down. Does that make sense? They want to tackle that man. Well, this is what Paul is saying. I want to grasp Jesus, or lay hold of him like he laid hold of me. He says that is the ultimate goal. So he says it's to be with Jesus there literally forever. He says, now, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended or made it or, you know, captured it yet. But one thing I do. Let's stop right there. Did you notice that in your Bible that I do, is that in italics? That just means that it's not in the original, and it means that the translators added that for clarity, but they didn't really have to do that. So it could read like this, but one thing, he says, I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So you have to have the right attitude about your spiritual condition, but loved one, you also have to do something else. You have to have the right focus, and that's what Paul is doing right here. Paul did not focus on many, many things. Paul focused on one thing only. He narrowed his life and he narrowed his focus down to one person, to one goal, one passion, and one love, and that is Jesus Christ. What is the greatest priority in your life right now? The greatest priority. Think about it. What would you write down and say, what is the number one priority in your life? Well, listen, you know what right focus is concerning our passage? It's keeping your focus on the main thing. Amen? And that's what Paul was doing. You remember when Jesus was invited to Mary and Martha's and Lazarus's home there in Bethany. And he shows up for dinner, you know, and the Bible says in Luke 10:39, and that Martha had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She was, in other words, pulled in all these different directions. And she approached Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? Tell that woman to get up and help me. I added woman, okay? Tell my sister to get up. Can you believe that Martha did that? And said, get up, you know, I'm trying to feed everybody and all. Peter's eating like a pig or something. I don't know. You know what I mean. Feeding everybody. And he says, tell her to help me. And I love Jesus. Listen to what he did. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Now, he's not being mean. He's being very tender. Martha, Martha, you are worried. Isn't that amazing? Literally, you could say, Martha, Martha, you are inwardly torn in so many different directions. You're so worried. You're so anxious. You're pulled this way. You're pulled that way in your life. And he says, not only that, he says, and you're troubled. Now, that's outward. I can look at your countenance, in other words. You're troubled. You're agitated. You're really upset, Martha. And Jesus says, you're upset and troubled and worried about many things. Now, Paul said, I just want one thing. Amen? But Martha, many things. Listen to what Jesus says. But one thing is needed. One thing is essential. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. There are many things in our life, right? There's so many things to be troubled about. You know, yesterday was one of those days where it just seems like nothing was going to work for me. You know, I left when I was leaving home, the sewer backed up, you know, and you know what I mean. And it was in our shower in the bathroom, the master bath, and then I tried to get it, you know, and then I called the Roto-Rooter people when I got home, and they never came. Yeah. And the reason I said all that is because I don't even know why I said all that. I guess because I'm worried and troubled about many things, maybe, amen? But one thing, Jesus said, one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, listen, which will never be taken away from her. Listen, there are many things in this life that can take you this way and take you that way, but in truth, there's only one thing is needed. And Jesus said, you know what? Mary chose the good part, the part that will never, ever be taken away from her. Listen to me. Here's what we have to do. We're running a race to the ultimate goal, and right priorities will never choose you. Do you understand? You have to choose right priorities. Amen? And that's exactly what Mary did. Mary chose on her own. Said, no, I'm staying at the feet of Jesus. Martha, this is where you need to be. Why? Because Jesus was preaching. He was teaching his word. And that's where all of us need to be. Listen, loved one, well, there's only one thing that's needed, and that's the ultimate goal, and that is to see Jesus Christ. Amen? That's all we need. Now, listen to me. Paul went home to be with the Lord. He was martyred, wasn't he? But Paul chose the good part himself too that would never be taken away from him. And that's what we have to do. So we're racing toward a goal, the ultimate goal. And look what Paul, he tells us how to get there in verse 13 again. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are or which are behind or behind me. Again, you know what Paul's doing? He's using an illustration of a Greek runner, and they're all behind him, and he says, I am completely forgetting about, I don't hear the footsteps anymore, I don't care what is behind me, my eyes are fixed on one thing. Look at it. He says, reaching forward, that word straining, that's another athletic term, a metaphor there. He says, I'm reaching forward, I'm straining with every muscle in my spiritual body, if you will, to those things which are ahead. In other words, I want to see Jesus. I want to be in my eternal home forever and ever and ever and ever. He says, and I do so by this, forgetting those things which are in my past, behind me. I'm going to ask you a question. We know that Paul had a past. He made havoc of the church. He was like a wild animal. He wanted to destroy Christianity. He wanted to destroy every Christian. He locked up. He had women and men and children locked up and put in prison. Those that would not recant Christ, what happened to them? They were put to death, remember? Even Saul, in other words, he's talking about when he was Saul. Well, the things that are behind me. He was even holding the garment of those at his feet. Remember, whenever they were stoning Stephen in Acts chapter 7, the first martyr in Christendom. Man, listen, he had a past. Do you think the devil tried to torment his mind? Yes. Man, do you think he remembered the faces of those pleading with him? You know, please don't lock me in prison. Please. Do you understand? See, we all have a past, but Paul says, oh no, if you're going to run this race called Christianity, if you're going to reach the ultimate goal in your life, you have to do something. You have to do exactly what Paul did. Paul refused to allow his past to control his future. Do you understand? Oh, that is so vital. What does that tell us? It tells us that we have to be running the right, not only the right way, but we have to be running in the right direction. You see, you can run to the Lord or you can run away from the Lord. Amen? And so you have to run in the right direction, and that is looking to Jesus. Remember what Jesus told us in Luke 9:62? He says, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back to whatever, you're not fit, he says, for the kingdom of God. The past is powerful. Did you know that? Does the past have a voice? You know, you can be driving in your car and you can hear an old song before you were saved and a memory pops in, doesn't it? Or you can be driving through a specific neighborhood. You know, if you grew up like some of you guys here, you know, where you partied there and you partied, not me, but you did, you know. You know what I'm saying? And you go, oh, I remember, you know, do you want to talk about it or think, but it's there. And you know, you think, and it's like a voice to say, you're a failure. The voice of the past will try to slay you. It will try to haunt you. Listen, Paul says, no. The word, you know what it really means when it says forgetting? It means this, completely, Paul says, forgetting those things that are behind me. Not only Saturday, no, it's gone. You're living today for the Lord, amen? And that is so, so important and so forth. So you can't waste your life. That's why you look back and go, well, what might have been, could have been, should have been. It doesn't matter, does it? It's not, looking back is not going to change anything. It's not going to help you. Thomas Holdcroft said this. He says, the past is a guidepost, not a hitching post. And that's a good word. Listen, dwelling on your past, whether it's good, you know, there's a lot of great, oh, the glory days or whatever. And, you know, I was listening to someone that on the radio this morning while I was shaving, Terry Talbot, which when we were in the concert industry, you know, that he did the face-to-face concert. Great. Incredible guy. But he was talking about the glory days. He was talking about Chuck Smith and all the Calvary chapels. And that's where Rebecca and I first saw him, by the way, is at a Calvary chapel. And but the thing is that that's wonderful to remember those things. But, you know, we can't camp there, can we? See, the glory days, so what? Paul said, look at all my achievements. Look what I did in Judaism, and I was a Benjamin. All the things that he said he was. He said, I count them all as loss. I don't look back there anymore. You know, so we don't look at our past victories, our successes, or our failures. You know, I heard someone the other day say, I failed as a father. I failed as a mother. I'm failing as a Christian. I tell you what, if you're failing as a Christian and you're here this morning, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad that you're in church. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm telling you what, you can't change yesterday, you can't change the past, you can't erase one mistake, you can't take back one word that you said yesterday, and loved one, you cannot change yesterday. But I tell you what you can do by God's grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the love of God, you can lay it all at Jesus' feet, and he will cleanse it all away. Amen? That's what God does. Listen, leave your successes with Jesus, because he's the one who gives you good success anyway. Leave your past with him, your past failures as well. See, you cannot press on to the ultimate goal if you are anchored to yesterday. You cannot do it. So Paul says, no, I leave those things behind. And look what he says. And I press, or I continually press each and every day toward the goal. Now, that word goal means marker, and it's only here in the New Testament. So let me read it again. I continually press toward the marker or the goal. Why? For the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So there is a goal or a marker at the end of our race. And the only way that we can get there is like a runner. In other words, we're looking right down the racetrack, if you will, and man, we keep in our eyes as a fixed gaze. So we have to have right focus. We have to have right attitude, but we also have to do something else. The only way that we can run this race is by looking at the right person. And who is that? Jesus Christ.
Unfortunately, we are out of time, but no worries. Pastor Bill concludes this message on Love Never Fails tomorrow, and we look forward to seeing you once again. Thanks, everyone, as always, for listening with us today. And we pray that you have a great day. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app.
Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.